Hello, this is Beth Ludwig from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall share with you information from the May 2010 issue of Good Housekeeping magazine. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. We will start with the Ask Heloise column. Here's the first question. I have gray and black granite countertops in my kitchen. I have tried numerous cleaning products, but they leave the granite streaky and or cloudy. It might be clean, but it looks terrible. Do you have a solution that won't harm the granite and leave it streak-free? Here is Heloise's answer. If your countertop has been sealed, and most granite ones should be, the protective layer might have worn off from normal use or been damaged by harsh cleaning products, which can dull the finish and lead to streaking. You may need to reseal the counters. To prevent streaking in the meantime, squirt a bit, about 1/4 teaspoon, of a mild dish soap into a quart or so of cool tap water, and wipe over the granite with a clean cloth. Wipe with fresh water, then dry and buff with a microfiber cloth or clean towel. Don't use a wet one, which may increase the streaking. Second question. My 5-year-old daughter just got pink nail polish on our family room carpeting, which is light beige. I've tried using nail polish remover and laundry detergent mixed in water to get it out, but a light pink still shows up. What can I do? Here's Heloise's answer. Nail polish remover is usually the right choice, but be sure it's acetone-based and no other ingredients like a color or fragrance or aloe. Take an old terry towel, put some remover on it, and dab, dab, and dab again. Use gentle wiping motions going in all directions. Keep with this until no more color comes up. Then to wash away the remover, clean the spot with 1/8 teaspoon of mild dish soap per cup of warm water and rinse with a clean cloth dampened with water. Let dry overnight. Repeat if needed. It will probably take several tries because the polish soaks into the fiber and wicks it up as you clean. How did it work? I've done the process 4 times and about 95% of the stain is gone, Maria told us a week later. I can live happily with my carpet now, but I plan to keep working on it until all of the pink is gone. What else I learned? Worry when your kids are being quiet. Now for some short tips in the good health section. Apple shape, meat olive oil. Even if you're overweight, ditching butter for a drizzle of olive oil may help you fend off diabetes, heart disease, and other ills associated with abdominal flab. The fat facts. Scientists put 20 people with big bellies on diets high in either saturated fats, the kind in red meat and dairy, or monounsaturated fats found in olive oil, avocado, and nuts. The saturated fats, the researchers learned, could cause disease-promoting inflammation associated with abdominal fat. But by eating monounsaturated fats instead could actually prevent inflammation even in overweight people. Yet another reason to add monounsaturated fats such as olive oil to your diet and limit high saturated fat foods. The pill that might stop arthritis. There's no proof bee pollen works, but pumping up your intake of another supplement, vitamin D, may just slow the progression of osteoarthritis and put off the need for surgery, says Australian researchers. When they examined the knees of 880 people, ages 51 to 79, they found those who had low vitamin D levels had less knee cartilage and more pain. 3 years later, in a follow-up with 353 participants, those whose D had previously been low had even worse arthritis. New vitamin D guidelines are about to be released, but for now, experts suggest 1,000 IUs a day. Because a few foods are naturally high in D, you'll probably need a supplement to meet that goal. A dieter's dilemma solved. Just because you'd like to lose a few pounds doesn't mean you want to spend hours preparing special diet meals that no one else in the house will eat. The new South Beach Diet Super Quick Cookbook delivers family-friendly, easy-to-prep recipes that follow the sound South Beach diet guidelines. And if anyone questions whether healthy can be yummy, try serving the chili-rubbed flank steak or the almond ricotta cheesecake. There's a happiness drink. A study involving more than 1,000 Japanese people aged 70 or over found that those who drank at least 4 cups of green tea a day enjoyed better moods. Especially, they had depressive symptoms 44% less often than those drinking a cup or less. The uplifting ingredient in green tea? It is theanine. The researchers believe that is the answer. Stress less, accomplish more. Forget bubble baths, exercise, the right diet, and thinking about your troubles in a new way will keep you in the comfort zone. This article is by Sarah Mahoney. My book group is due to arrive in less than 10 minutes as I screech into the driveway. I haul the grocery bags into the house, creating a cyclone of tulip petals, pistachios, and pre-chunked pineapple as I slam snacks into the serving bowls. I quickly scan the kitchen computer for emails, grimacing at my still unfinished assignments, and just as the first guest arrives, I've noticed that I've dusted only half of a very visible lampshade, and my son's dirty sweat socks is wedged under a hat. Why do I do this to myself, I mutter. Schedule something that means I have to clean and shop midweek when work is so busy? The answer is obvious. I do this because even in I don't like stress. I like the things in my life that create it. Like I like my book club. My husband, kids, friends, volunteering, hobbies, exercise, and work all make me happy. Yet every one of them, at times, creates levels of stress that are downright scary. They can make my heart pound and my neck turn to granite. But that doesn't necessarily mean I should give up any of them. After years of bad-mouthing stress, urging women like me to try to eliminate it and spend more time in soaking bubble baths, experts are finally shifting their focus from our frailties to our hardiness. How can we learn to handle stress better? It's becoming a more important question. How can we make stress go away? A certain amount of pressure isn't just good for us, researchers show. It's a requirement for a rich life, providing us with stress hormones to fuel our creativity. Often people need a little jolt, like a deadline or an audience to perform better, explains Zen Fan, Ph.D., and a neuroscience professor at the State University of New York at Buffalo Medical School. And studies at her lab showed that short zaps of stress can improve memory and learning. Experts are also backing off their old ideas about good stress and bad stress. While there may be huge psychological differences between happy upsets, your house is sold and buyers want to close in 2 weeks, and scary ones, if this department doesn't boost sales numbers in 2 weeks, we'll have to start laying off. Your hormone system can't tell the difference. Each of these can trigger the body's fight or flight response, releasing a flood of chemicals including adrenaline, also called epinephrine, cortisol, and neurotransmitters. And each of these hormones creates its own set of lingering and sometimes damaging consequences. So instead of analyzing whether your stress is good or bad, it's more useful to focus on recognizing your personal signals for overload, says Carol Scott, MD, author of Optimal Stress. We need a certain amount of adrenaline to get things done. But when stress becomes so intense and prolonged that it feels bad, your belly churns, your temper flares, and you've crossed into the red zone, you need to corral it. Left unchecked, that kind of high-level, protracted stress can quite literally be a killer, contributing to problems from headaches to heart disease. But just as is important, says Dr. Scott, that kind of pressure keeps you from immersing yourself in projects that make you feel good. How can you plan this summer's herb garden when your ailing sister is absorbing your time and energy, giving you back spasms? You can by learning to approach your stress in a new way. The Army is finding that training soldiers on basic resiliency skills, like trying to be less self-critical, helps them manage battlefield trauma and even grow from the experience. And that's in combat. To get into your best stress zone, where you're pushed just enough to feel motivated, but not so much that you go over the top, follow our three-step plan. Step one. Ratchet up your core resilience. Finding your zone requires beefing up basic stress hardiness, says Roberta Lee, MD, chairman of medicine at Beth Israel Medical Center in New York and author of The Stress Solution. That means doing all the healthy things you know you should. Eat the six foods that stop stress. Comfort food, those high-carb, high-calorie treats, release brain-soothing chemicals and may help to soothe you in the short term. But they add pounds and talk about a stressor and don't protect you from the physical assault ongoing tension can cause. For that, you need a dietary plan to fight the body-wide inflammation stress creates, which left unchecked can lead to cardiovascular disease. Her list of stress-curbing foods are vegetables, fruits, fish, whole grains, hearty, heart-healthy fats like those in nuts and olive oil. And don't forget to treat yourself to a little dark chocolate. Not only does it boost mood in the short term, but the high level of antioxidants can provide ongoing protection. It's also important to eat less red meat, full-fat dairy, and other high-saturated fat foods and processed foods. Work it out. Exercise conditions us to respond better to stress. In rats, it takes about 6 weeks of running on training wheels to establish the basic level of protection. They haven't studied how long it would take for humans, but what's important is having a routine of regular, moderate intensity workouts. Possible ideas? Walking at a fast pace, bicycling, and swimming. Extinguish the electronics. Email, text messages, ringing cell phones. Those interruptions tend to stress us even when we're not aware of it, says Dr. Lee. And most of all, most of us don't realize how seldom we go off duty. Some people may check their emails as much as 30 to 40 times an hour, Scottish researchers say. 34% of workers report feeling stressed by the volume of emails, and 28% feel driven to deal with the message as soon as possible. No wonder your coworkers are so twitchy. While you may not be able to stop the flow at work, set a time for shutting down the computers and other devices at home. Sleep it off. Most of us need between 7 and 9 hours a night, but the typical woman gets just 6 hours, 41 minutes on weeknights. A National Sleep Foundation poll reports, and while lack of sleep is linked to many health problems, including obesity and hypertension, adequate rest is also vital for stress recovery. Step two, find your traps. This can be tricky. Is it really your morning commute that stresses you out? Or is it that masking other tensions, how much you hate your job, for example, or worries about your child's daycare? The way to find out is to spend a week listing everything that seems to be getting to you. Then look for themes. Write down the big life problems, a brother's ongoing financial worries, as well as minor annoyances, such as a cluttered bedroom. Now put the list aside and take some time to think about your goals and the projects you wish you had more time for. Whether it's the quilt you want to start, the vacation you're eager to plan, or the idea you've dreamed about pitching at work. Focusing on these can inspire you as you turn back to the soul-sucking stressors that get in the way. Look at your first list and see what themes you can decode. Say you were crazed by having to rush your kids each morning, not being able to stay with your son after his band concert, and never finishing the conversation with your husband. Diagnosis: you don't have time to be as focused on family as you would like. In your frustrations, if your frustrations center on housework, acknowledge that chores are eating your life. Or maybe work problems dominate the list. Now, instead of sighing, "I'm so stressed," you can now know which areas cause the biggest obstacles and begin to address those. Step 3, break out. By looking at your problems in a new way, reframing them, you can diminish their effect on you. Rank the upset. Is it a crisis or a little blip? Suppose you just reminded your 13-year-old that it's trash night. He snarls. Your jaw clenches. Take a breath and ask yourself, what's really at stake here? Of course, you want to raise your children right, but while chores in general are important, you know that one trash night is a minor chapter in child rearing. Perspective will enable you to summon a calm, "I expect the garbage to be at the curb before you go to bed," rather than throwing down the gauntlet for the weekly skirmish. That sense of priority helps you sort out problems from mental clutter. Acknowledge your stress mountains. While there aren't many magic pixie dust for life's biggest bummers, they still need regular, maybe even daily attention. You can brainstorm ways to ease their impact. You can't cure your dad's cancer, but could you join a hospice support group? Your husband isn't willing to go to marriage counseling. Would he agree to a weekend away so you two could talk? Even acknowledging that in some cases there is no solution can help. Flatten the molehills. Traffic snarls get you worked up. Books on CDs turn up lost and tension-filled commuting time. For 1 week, try leaving for appointments, including picking up kids from after-school activities, 10 minutes earlier. You may find that relieves a lot of your agitation. These aren't superficial fixes, says John Christian, Ph.D., at the University of Colorado. They alter the brain's architecture. When we feel we don't have control, the more primitive part of our brain goes into a kind of vigilance mode. That's very demanding and uses a lot of energy. But once we know we can control some of the situation, the more developed prefrontal cortex can send an all-clear signal to the rest of the body, and the effects can be long-lasting. Experiences in controlling stress change the way the brain works in the next stressful situation, reducing the effects of stress. Create numerical standards and stick to them. Some stress is self-created, and for women who tend to do too much, concrete numbers help. Just because you cook dinner every night, you may assume your family expects you to do it, adding a lot of daily pressure. But maybe that's your vision of a good mommy. And if you ask your husband and kids, you might find they'd be happy to take over a night or have do-it-yourself dinners. Or perhaps making every one of your daughter's soccer game a logistical nightmare at work means less to her than you think. Talk to her about it. Maybe she'd like you to come to just home games. Then post a list of family expectations on the fridge. 4 dinners a week, 3 home games as a reminder that you are meeting your family's expectations. Give your job performance review. For many Americans, the recession has stolen job satisfaction. In January, the Conference Board reported that only 45% of those surveyed said they liked their work, the lowest level in 2 decades. While you can't change a bummer job overnight, it's vital to acknowledge the drag it puts on you. When occupational health researchers in Italy recently tracked 100 nurses for a year, they found that those who disliked their jobs had weaker immune systems, as measured by T cells. But interestingly, the nurses who found ways to raise job satisfaction as the year progressed showed improvement in their immune systems. If you're unhappy at work, think about fixes you can make, such as finding a new project, switching departments, changing your hours, or ask yourself if it's time for a bigger solution, like looking for a new job or going back to school. Ask yourself, what would Bill Gates do? Fantasize about how you could eliminate stress if you had money to burn. Would you hire a maid, an assistant to drive? It's an exercise that can lead you to surprising solutions. Maybe you could consider hiring a cleaning service a few times a year, or take time off to drive other people around. Finally, find your reward. Remember, those projects you listed in step 2, the ones that make you happy but always fall to the bottom of your list, make one of them happen now, whether it's biking down a nearby hill or creating an elaborate dessert for friends or trying a new dance class on your own. The energy that comes from that kind of stress is really what feeds us, says Dr. Scott. Somehow, even though you're adding to an already crowded day, you'll have the spirit to get through the drearier must-do list with less tension, and you'll feel more excited about your own life. Here's a tip for 60 seconds to sanity. For those crazed, heart-racing moments, breathing deeply for a minute or two so you can lower your stress level. But to decrease overall anxiety and boost confidence, practice daily for 15 to 20 minutes. Start with 10 minutes and work your way up. Health experts at Harvard suggest 3 different methods, whichever feels most comfortable to you. First, the simple break. Take a normal breath, followed by a slow, deep breath, letting the air come in through your nose to fill your lower belly. Now breathe out through your mouth or nose. Alternate this with normal and deep breaths. The second method of breathing, hand on the belly. Put one hand just below your belly button and breathe deeply. Feel your hand rise about an inch each time you inhale and fall about an inch when you exhale. Repeat. The third method of breathing, multi-system. Close your eyes. Imagine that each inhale washes relaxation into your body, and each exhale carries the tension away. To reinforce that effect, as you inhale, say to yourself, "Breathing in peace and calm." And as you exhale, say, "Breathing out tension and anxiety." In the good family section, say what? If your kid thinks it's cool to listen to his iPod at full blast or to have his ears ringing after an Owl City concert, it's time to speak about the dangers. Nearly half of 2,500 respondents in a recent MTV.com survey said they listen to MP3 players at 75 to 100% of their maximum volume. Nearly half also said they experience symptoms of hearing loss, such as ringing in the ears, trouble hearing, and ear pain from loud noises. But only 32% considered it a problem. Hearing loss is so prevalent that it's become the norm, says Dr. Roland Evey, director of the Vanderbilt Bill Wilkerson Center. Parents need to tell kids to protect their ears, just as they tell them to wear helmets and sunscreen. A good gauge and house rule: if you can hear the music your child is listening to on his MP3 player, it's too loud. Also, consider nipping the problem in the earbud with healthy headphone options like the volume-reducing Loud Enough earphones, about $40, or Sony noise-canceling over-ear headphones, about $50, which limit background noise so they won't have to turn the volume up so much. Smoke-free strategy. In addition to talking to your youngsters about the dangers of cigarettes, encourage her to play team sports and watch tobacco-free flicks. It could keep her from lighting up, according to a recent study at Dartmouth Medical School. Non-athletes aged 9 to 14 were twice as likely as sporty kids to become smokers later in life. And all kids who watched movies showing heavy smoking were about 20% more likely to get addicted. A better birthday bash. This month, Good Housekeeping turns 125 years old, so we have birthdays in our mind. Here's clever ways to make your kids' birthdays extra special. A do-it-yourself cupcake bar. Since cake is the main event at any party and kids love to play with their foods, get the best of both worlds by letting guests decorate their own sweets. Bake your child's favorite flavor of cupcakes and set up a bar with frostings and toppings galore, such as mini marshmallows, chocolate chips, gummy candies, and sprinkles. Build a photo booth. Position a tripod in front of a sheet-covered wall. Round up silly props like feather boas, hats, monster glasses, magnifying glasses, and let the kids strike a pose. Print the photos either at the party or later and mail them out with your child's thank yous. Get favors with flavor. Let kids create their own parting gifts during the party. Think tie-dye t-shirts, seeds in hand-painted flower pots, or for sleepovers, pillowcases personalized with a rainbow of fabric markers. Here's the Ask Peggy column. Question: my neighbor plans expensive playdates for our kids, like laser tag and paintball, and we can't afford it. What's a nice way to request cheaper outings? Answer from Peggy: just be honest and pleasant. With so many people concerned about expenses these days, I can't imagine your neighbor will be surprised. You could just say, "I really appreciate your planning these fun outings, but they just don't fit into our budget." Suggest alternatives. Maybe some seasonal outdoor fun, such as a hike or a visit to a nearby park. Another idea: many public libraries have creative programs for kids of all ages. Here's a question. After you host a spring brunch, a guest sends flowers to you to thank you. Should you dash off an email or a handwritten note, call to thank her, or do nothing? Here's Peggy's answer. Definitely thank her. How else will she know you received the gift? The warmest thanks is still the handwritten note. But you could also express appreciation with an immediate email. So the best answer is dash off an email or a handwritten note. You could call, but just don't leave a message on the machine. Next question. We have run out of time for today's episode of From Soups to Nuts. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Beth Ludwig, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long, until next time.